السلام عليك زين الأنبياء، السلام عليك.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، أفضل الصلاة وأتم تسليم على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله. These are meanings that bring the heart to life. And oh, however in need we are of these meanings. Every single last one of us, our own selves, our family, our children, our friends, our relatives, our neighbors, our all of those living around us. These are the meanings that will bring the heart to life. And when you hear these meanings and it moves the heart, it's very important that we absorb them and let them in and let them penetrate deeply. And we hope that in gatherings like this, even though there's only a certain amount of people here, and there's a few people maybe following online, and maybe there's a few people after that that will hear some of what has been said. What we hope is that these meanings take root, and you and I realize the responsibility upon our shoulders to establish this deen in and of ourselves, and then also that be sources of goodness to stem to other people. This is one of the most important things of all, that we learn and we teach, that we benefit and we benefit others. We profit ourselves and we do good things for others, and so forth and so on. This is the way of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is the one who told us and taught us and instructed us and commanded us sallallahu alaihi wasallam, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً, convey on my behalf even if it be a single verse. In Hujjat al-Islam, Imam Ghazali says, if someone learns one mas'ala, one single issue of knowledge, one single legal case, one single religious principle, he has thus become an alim, a knower. Alim usually is translated as scholar, but someone who knows that, and he is obliged to teach it. He's obliged to tell other people about it. He's obliged to let other people know that reality in relation to his circle of influence, i.e. those people that he can affect. This is the way of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is the way of the companions in all of the successive generations until this day and age. If the people before us didn't take those meanings seriously, and if their hearts didn't have what is called hurqa, a fire burning like sensation and desire to benefit people and to help others, you and I would not be sitting here in Macungie, Pennsylvania, talking about these meanings or experiencing the bliss of these meanings and loving to sing praises upon our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if there wasn't people before us who were motivated to teach the deen of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you and I wouldn't be sitting here. And this is why the teachers that we studied with, they always used to repeat day in and day out, day in and day out, that nothing brings happiness to the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam like a da'wah ila Allah, like teaching the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that letting other people know about the realities of la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, helping people, serving them, all of the meanings of da'wah. Nothing is more important than that. And this is what we all need to realize. These meanings that we're being exposed to, we don't want them to just enter into one ear and exit the other. We don't want to just go home and have everything be the same. We all have a blessed opportunity here. Now that the numbers are increasing, the largest percentage of us have all moved to this area. We're not even from here. And hopefully we didn't come here haphazardly or without intention. We should be here with intention. All of us have days that are numbered. But all of us should make an intention to be here to benefit from all of what is being offered, and that to internalize those meanings and to put them into practice in our own selves and in our households first and foremost, gently, lovingly, sweetly, in a way that makes other people desire to put them into practice. Help other people around us as well, that tell others that we can tell, relatives, friends, and family, and other people, so that this becomes a staple part of the practice of this deen in this country in which we live, and hopefully will reach beyond the confines of the nation state of the United States of America. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has that given us means in order to do that, but it begins with the self. It begins with taking these meanings and putting them into practice, but being cognizant of the importance of this reality, that it's not enough for just us to experience these meanings. Every single one of us has to take them out to the people and affect other people that are around us. This is of the utmost importance. And little by little, because true change, real change, change that is accepted in the presence of Allah and with the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, begins in the grassroots. It begins with the individual putting those meanings into practice and interactions that he or she has with those that are around them. And then affecting the change of those around them, and them affecting the change of those that are around them. We hope that we live to see that, and if we don't and we fall short, hopefully the seed will be planted for us to see people in this country reach the point where when Rabi al-Awwal, this blessed third month of the Islamic calendar, is on the verge of coming in, they become filled with joy. They become filled with happiness. They long for it to enter. Because once it enters, things start to change. That if we're going to decorate our house, it should not be for Halloween. It should be for something like showing joy. That this is the month that the Blessed Prophet ﷺ entered into this world. And were he not to have been created, this world wouldn't have been created. And were he not have entered into this world, you and I would not be experiencing the blessings of this deen. All of this is predicated upon his entrance into this world, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how could we not be anything other than joyful? How could we not be anything other than happy? And we have to get beyond this point where we see what is called a bid'ah hasana, a good innovation, is that we start to question it and wonder about it. Ask your questions if you have questions, but reach the point where we are firmly rooted, like the ulama across the world are and still are, and many of the people that live in the societies where they're present and haven't been affected by many of these stains of modern approaches to this religion or traces of people who don't understand it correctly, so that we can then do what needs to be done in these months and appreciate the blessing that there is a religious principle called a bid'ah hasana. Just as there's a blessing that we have a concept of bid'ah, it's a blessing that we have a concept of bid'ah hasana. Because understanding that there are innovations, as someone who was raised a Christian and became Muslim, you appreciate that because you realize our concept of bid'ah helps preserve this deen. Certain things are innovations, and as our Prophet said, they must be rejected. And by the fact that there's so many scholars that have rejected all of these bad innovations throughout the centuries, our deen has not become watered down. And our deen can not only still exist, it can thrive despite the most difficult of circumstances, despite being within a time like the one in which we live. It can not only exist, it can thrive. And what we mean by deen here is thriving in the hearts of individuals, in the hearts of communities. But also the fact that there is such a thing called a bid'ah hasana, even if it wasn't exactly the way that the Prophet ﷺ or the companions that are around him, we need to get beyond all of the polemics to realize this is a great blessing, because we are not like the companions, and the leniency and flexibility and grandeur of the sacred law is such that it allows for certain practices that are rooted in religious principles that our Prophet ﷺ established appear at various times, that in the successive generations that come after that early prophetic period. And it is for this reason, months like Rabi al-Awwal and doing things like the Mawlid that we have just done, that this is a time where especially we should celebrate the life of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you think about what the scholars have done, they have a very broad understanding of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was not just limited from the time that he received prophecy into the time that he returned to that his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, those very blessed 23 years that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala swears by in the Quran, because they were so great. There were no years that were more blessed in human history. But for the scholars of Sirah who really understand, is that you could, if you want, talk about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam beginning with the beginning of creation. Because the first thing, as many of the ulama have said, was the light of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being created. And you could talk about it that with the creation of humankind, our forefather and father Adam alayhi salam, and then our Prophet's reality being there, that he was a prophet while Adam was still between water and clay. So you could talk about him moving through the loins of all of his forefathers and all of his blessed ancestors until he was born. So in another sense, yes, the seerah does begin in some ways with his birth.
birth. And then you could also talk about that very early period of his life before receiving prophecy. But you could also say that his life does not end when he returned to the Rafiq al-A'la, because his seerah is in a way still manifesting in its broadest meaning right now as we speak. When our actions are shown to him, we know this is an active process that takes place regularly, that our Prophet sees our actions. Hayati khayrun lakum wa mati khayrun lakum. My life is good for you and my death is good for you. Tu'rad alayha amalukum. Your actions are shown to me. And if I find good, I thank Allah. And if I find other than that, I seek forgiveness for you. This is happening. Our actions are shown to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why that we want our actions, when they're shown to him, to bring happiness and joy to his blessed heart. And by establishing these types of gatherings in these times where we only to know the blessings that come to us and the tribulations that are warded off from us, and not just us, those that live in these lands in which we live, where we only to know, we would never miss a single one. No matter what happens, no matter how tired we are, we would set our schedules around being in these gatherings. Not because of any particular person here being present, but because of the meanings that are present in what we hope that the reality of the connection of these gatherings to our teachers that establish them and their teachers' teachers that all the way back to Rasulullah with an unbroken chain. That's where our hope lies. If we really understood them, the fact is that we're veiled from them. All of us are in the same predicament, but we have to let our ilm and yaqeen, the knowledge of certainty that we have and the blessed nature of them, propel us forward so that we take them seriously and we prepare. And we prepare our hearts for them, and we come with strong intentions, and we come to benefit, and we come to increase in love of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to learn about his sunnah, and then to put it into practice when we go home in our day-to-day lives. And what really matters are all of those individual interactions that we have, especially when no one else sees us and only our Lord sees us. Those are the things that really matter. And the more that you and I do that, and the more, for lack of a better word, every individual becomes empowered to implement the sunnah of our Prophet ﷺ, the more that this deen is going to blossom in these lands. And the very greatest thing that we can leave behind for our children, our children's children, and the future generations is the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, that takes the form of beautiful cultural practices that are very easy for people to latch onto, that can be means for their that spiritual ascension and drawing nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having the ultimate realities of this being planted in their hearts. These are many of the blessings that come from these blessed majadis and from these blessed gatherings, that in which we remember Allah and we remember our blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But you and I have to all realize we have work to do. And we have a job, and we have to be on a mission in life. We have to learn and put that knowledge into practice, and we have to disseminate that knowledge, and we have to teach people, and we have to serve people until the day that we meet our Lord. Whether we are old or whether we are young, whatever our age is and whatever that background is, there is no excuse for any of us. Every single one of us has people that we interact with. Every single one of us has people that we can reach. And we collectively become aware of that. And we learn together and benefit together. And from the blessing of these words, become inspired and motivated together. We can all help one another. And what we hope is that when the delegations of people on Yawm al-Qiyamah come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that we will come collectively as a delegation that spent our time week in and week out, week in and week out, singing the praises of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, singing the praises of the best of creation sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine the joy that is going to be in the heart of Rasulullah when he receives that delegation in a land where the vast majority of people are in a state of disbelief and in sheer heedlessness, that they came together and avoided all of that harm, all of that wrong, all of those that ways that people could become derailed from the spiritual path. And they chose, consciously believing in Allah, to praise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they realized that was one of the greatest things that they did, could have done with their time. Imagine how great that's going to be in our scales. And then when we come to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I remember a beautiful statement of Sheikh Muhammad Sadiq, may Allah bless him, and the that discussion of scales, when he used to talk about the love of the Prophet, he said there are no scales that could possibly ever weigh the love of the Prophet. It's that heavy in the scales. Is that what scales could ever weigh the love of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This is what we want to return to Allah Ta'ala with, and this is what we want to confront our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with, longing for him, having spent lives with purpose in a way that is pleasing to our Lord and pleasing to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and bless us to realize these meanings, and bless us to work together as a community, and bless us to be able to that learn what is wanted from us so we can do what needs to be done, and that we can do it solely for his sake, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we can be causes and means for this blessed light to spread all throughout these lands and all throughout that the world where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willed for it to reach. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and to bless us in all of our different affairs. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.